Now, here's the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus.
All right, everybody. Woo! Yeah. Awesome crowd tonight. That's called a cold open. In case you want to know the business, that's a cold open. But one thing that is not cold is your Kansas City Chiefs. We are at the Hy-Vee Market Grill, Gladstone, 72nd in Indiana, Highway 1, whatever you want to call it. And we have got a sellout crowd tonight. We have got an awesome crowd here this evening. Just putting it this way, a reminder that the Chiefs Kingdom Show is brought to you by Tickets for Less. Best seats, lowest prices, biggest Chiefs games all season long. And for here on, every game is going to be huge. Here's why. There are 32 teams in the National Football League. There is one that remains undefeated. That is your Kansas City Chiefs. What a way to start the season. And we've got our crew here tonight. Central Bank of the Midwest Geeks are here tonight. The Redcoaters are here tonight, including a new Redcoater. We'll call her Harrison Butker Redcoater. She is brand new to the Chiefs Kingdom Show, surrounded by veterans. They'll let you know how it works. Also, the Taj Mahal Tailgaters are here tonight. Susie Bling Bling, Kent the Cake Baker, Kent the Cat Packer. Ryan is here tonight. Cowboy Ryan is here. We also have Autograph Geek here tonight. Snowstorm Sandy is here representing the Geeks. Don't want to leave anybody out here tonight. The Lake Lotawana Lake Rats, Big Daddy Lake Rat, is here. Now, among some others, we got some new folks here tonight. It's awesome to have you with us in the Northland where it's real, right? All right, yeah. Just saying. Kind of glad we're Gladstone, I guess, at 72nd and Antioch or Missouri Highway 1, but we've got an exciting show for you tonight. All right, that game was tough. Because down 10-0, that Redskin team came in hungry. They were confident. And, man, it looked that way in the first quarter of the game. But the Kansas City Chiefs have now outscored their opponents, what, 54-13 in the fourth quarter. I'm telling you. And that is huge. Also, when you take a team like that and you hit them back twice as hard as they hit you, because that's the way this game turned out. The Chiefs were able to stay undefeated and put the hammer down, baby. I got to have you girls. I got to have you. They came all the way from Grandview, all the way to the Northland, and they're going to be here tonight, our Grandview fans. Okay, it still boils down. 20-20 tie. 47 seconds left in regulation. Chiefs have two timeouts left. The hardest thing to do in football. And we've got a special guest tonight, and I'm going to ask him about it because we have the newest Chiefs Hall of Famer tonight. Number 88, Carlos Carson, is with us tonight. And we will talk to Los later in the show about this. But Alex Smith makes an incredible play. Scrambles to his right, running for his life, but looks up the field and finds Albert Wilson with a tough big boy catch of 37 yards to the sideline, followed by another big man catch, Chris Conley on a slant for 10. And then we trotted him out on the field. He missed a 46-yarder right before the half, and the Chiefs Kingdom was gasping for oxygen. Then he runs out 6 days in the Chiefs Kingdom. 6 days, much like our new Redcoater to the Chiefs Kingdom, Harrison Butker Geek. Here he comes, ladies and gentlemen. Will the Chiefs win this, or are we going to overtime? And here's how it sounded. 8 seconds remaining in regulation. It will be a 43-yard attempt from the right hash. Butker trying to line this up. Winchester will snap it. Colquitt will hold it. 20-20 tie. High snap. Pull down. Butker's kick is up. It is right down the boulevard. It's good. And the Chiefs take a 23-20 lead with 4 seconds left in regulation. And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what, as he pledges the Chiefs Kingdom in his first game with the 43-yard potential game winner. Welcome to the Chiefs Kingdom, Harrison Butker. There you go. If you check the dude's Twitter handle, it's kickbutt87. Just saying. So the Chiefs are undefeated at 4-0. It's time now to flip the switch. This show is always where the Chiefs Kingdom, all the Chiefs Kingdom, not just the Chiefs Kingdom show, flips the switch. Because we've got a sellout crowd here tonight at our Hy-Vee Market Grill, located here at 72nd and Antioch, or Missouri Highway 1, brought to you by Tickets for Less. But it's time to switch to the Houston Texans and their great young quarterback, Deshaun Watson. They put 57 points on the board this past week against the Tennessee Titans. It is time to get ready, get red, get real, and get loud. When we come back, we will talk to the best coach in the NFL, and he's your coach. Andy Reid is coming your way after this on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network. Triangle set to the right of Alex Smith, who's got Kareem Hunt, sidecar, left position, ball in the right hash, snap to him, Smith looking left, under pressure, turns back right for the end zone, caught by Kelce, touchdown, Kansas City, Kelce draped by Breland, it did not matter, it's a 17-yard strike, and the Chiefs continue their red zone mastery.
And welcome back, everybody, to Gladstone, the Hy-Vee Market. And welcome back, everybody, to Gladstone, the Hy-Vee Market Grill. We're in the Northland tonight. A little bit, just a few minutes, we'll celebrate the career of Carlos Carson. He'll be the newest inductee into the Chiefs Hall of Fame, and will be inducted later this fall. But now let's talk to the guy who has led Kansas City to a 26-4 record in the last 30 games. The only undefeated team remaining in the National Football League after 4 weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, your coach, Andy Reid. And Andy, first of all, you prophesied that game. You told me earlier in the week, get ready, because this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, they. You can see that on tape. I mean, this crew, all three phases were well coached. They've done a good job with the personnel, and they play hard. And so you knew it was going to come right down to the last quarter there.
Let's go to the 2-minute drill. I mean, the improvement in the 2-minute has been just vast. 47 seconds, you got two timeouts, and you go down and get it done. What has been the key in being so much better in the 2-minute?
You know, we practice it more, and we put an emphasis on it more than what we did before, and the players could just about coach up on it now. They've done it so much. You know, that was important after that Patriot game that we spent a little bit more time than what we had been on it. We still were doing quite a little bit of it even going into that, but we just took it up one more notch.
That being said, Alex makes a special play in the 37-yarder to Wilson, but what about Wilson on that specific play and what he did to make it happen?
Yeah, well, he kept himself alive on it, and Alex kept himself alive, and then Alex threw a pinpoint shot there on the full sprint, and Albert wedged that catch up against his face mask. I mean, that was an amazing catch. That ball was humming, and we talk about little finger catches where your little fingers are together and you're catching over your shoulder, and those are tough. You know, those are tough catches, especially going for a right-handed guy going that direction. And but he snagged it and maintained it, and then he got clobbered over there on top of it and still hung on to it. So he's a tough kid that plays his heart out every week.
The other bigger play, people are going to forget about it, but it could have been an interception off the tip pass when it's 17-17, and he snatches it from the Redskin guy. I mean, to see him grow, how much has he grown in just the last year?
Yeah, he got himself in a great shape. And he's a smart kid. He's a tough kid. You know, he's a small school guy and comes in and every day feels like he's got to prove himself. And he's got a great attitude with that. And I'm losing my voice here. Too much screaming last night. But he's, you know, my hat goes off. He's one of those guys you pull for. He just handles himself that way. Class act.
Already in the offensive line, you're in scramble drill. Now, you taught me long ago it's next man up, so you don't sit around and wait or paw in the dirt for somebody, but just the fact that how they've responded scrambling on the O-line.
Well, we've had a couple guys banged up, and it's the next man up, and they get in, and I'm not telling you it looks pretty, but as long as it's effective, that's all that really matters, and that's all I care about. And we started off a little slow. They settled down and kind of got things going. Jordan had to step in at guard and play there and did a nice job with that.
And how much overall did you have to settle down? I mean, that first quarter was a little wicked in all three phases, but there was no panic. What about this team and how they're able to handle that?
Yeah, they don't worry about all that stuff. They just kind of go, and I think they trust each other. You know, most of all, they know if they hang with it long enough, good things are going to happen, and they roll from there. That's something you appreciate as a head coach. We're early in the season, so we got to keep this thing going here. That's a challenge with the Texans coming up. That's a big challenge.
Defensively, and talking about little things that, couldn't stop them. They just had 20 yards to Davis. But Frank Zombo gets enough pressure on Cousins to force Mitchell, who's able to jump the slant, and you finally get a stop. What about Zombo's play last night in figuring out stepping in for Ford?
Yeah, well, he's one of those guys. I mean, he's done that for us here over the last few years, where there's nothing glamorous about his game. He just works and plays hard and is relentless. I mean, you saw him take a hit last night on a peelback block that was unbelievable when Cousins ran one of those third downs, and he gets bounces back up and let's go for the next one, and then ends up making a play. So I mean, he's that guy. Nobody works harder. Everybody on the team likes this guy, and he's just ultimate pro.
Must be all those mornings in a duck blind. Okay, not a short week. It's a shorter week. The short week's coming up in a couple weeks, but how do you handle now this shorter week?
You know, the boys are sore right now. I mean, that was a rough game last night, and so, we'll have to back off just a little bit on tomorrow's practice, but we got a good plan for him there, and then crank it back up a little bit on Thursday, and then get ourselves ready to go play. But that's how you do. And these guys, they're willing to communicate with me, which is a good thing. So I'm able to keep a pretty good tab on how they're feeling and where they're at. And it's just a matter of adjusting things so that it works out the best for them.
Final question deals with Houston. When I saw the score, I thought it was University of Houston versus East Tennessee State. And apologies, Coach Torbush at East Tennessee State. He's bringing that program back. And, hey, Gerald Sensenbaugh played there, and you had to coach against Sensenbaugh. But, man, 57 points in the NFL. What about the challenge we face coming up?
Yeah, that's a big one. They're doing a nice job. The quarterback's playing well. Their defense, we've known about their defense. I mean, they're fully loaded there. Got great coaches coaching them, they've got good players. And so it's important that we put together a good game plan and that we execute it going down there and, try to hold them under 56, right, Redhead?
And we'll get 57. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. No sleep, short week, but we appreciate it.
No, thank you. Appreciate you. Thanks, Mitch.
All right, Head Coach Andy Reid, stay tuned. We're going to talk with Carlos Carson, the newest inductee into the Chiefs Hall of Fame. We'll have that again. Come join us if you're in the area. We're in the Northland tonight, Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone. We'll be back after this. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football.
Pre-eligible to the right side. West is in the backfield. Snap back to Alex Smith in the pocket. Flush from the pocket, now running right. Holding, and he's going to throw it late. He's got Albert Wilson. Makes an over-the-shoulder grab, and he's all the way down to the right sideline at the Washington 35-yard line. Albert Wilson continues to make big boy plays. The fourth week in a row, it's a 36-yard catch by Wilson.
Welcome back to the Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone. We're bringing in new food for you. We have a semi pulling up as we speak to bring in everything that you need just for our fans that are here tonight and our sellout crowd. BCE is here tonight. I did not mention BCE. Big Chief Eric is here, one of our great fans. Also, the Lot Detail Gators. They did a terrific job. They had their fundraiser this past week and raised over $2,500 in the parking lot. And then the super fans of KC are here. Andy Reid wanted me to tell you, he always says, say hi to the redheads. So hi to the redheads and the red beards, right, from the Lot Detail Gators here tonight and the super fans of KC. Plus, we have the Grandview Greats over there in the corner. Hopefully, they're still cheering over there. We see you, girls. You've got to roll it. You've got to bring it. Okay, so we're again at the Hy-Vee Market Grill, 72nd Street in the Northland in Gladstone, 72nd Indiana, Highway 1, great location. A reminder that our show is brought to you by Tickets for Less. No taxes, no fees. The price you see is always the price you pay. And, yes, Monday Night Football will be coming back in a couple of weeks. We got the tickets available for the Pittsburgh game coming up in 2 weeks. But that Monday Night game will be against the Donkeys, and that will be huge. And you can get tickets for as low as $99 with Tickets for Less. We have a special treat tonight, because we are blessed with a great history, of course, with Kansas City Chiefs football. And this young man is the newest inductee into the Chiefs Hall of Fame. He'll go up on the Hall of Honor later this fall. He led the AFC in receiving in 1983, was second in the NFL that year, 33 career touchdowns, three different 1,000-yard seasons, and two Pro Bowls. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, he wore 88 before Tony Gonzalez wore 88. Ladies and gentlemen, Carlos Carson, Hall of Famer.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. All right.
It is awesome to have you here tonight, my friend.
Hey, it is great to be here, and I can still say this. In 1980, the fans were great, even though we didn't have the best of times. And to see it now is something really special. Thank you for being Kansas City Chiefs fans. You are the greatest.
And a reminder, for being on the show, our Hall of Famer, Carlos Carson, gets a gift certificate from Mazarese Jewelry. You also get this, so you can go a little shopping spree to Hy-Vee, courtesy of our great friends, the official grocery sponsor of the Chiefs, Shemeika's Italian Sausage. It is, we're showering the gifts on Carlos here, and plus a little something from Par Excellence. So just like when you played, man, keep the hamstrings loose.
I know it. I feel ready.
Let's go. Okay, first of all, your reaction when you got notified that you're going to the Ring of Honor.
Was totally shocked. Thought it was a joke at first. When Clark called me, I said, "Clark, you got to be kidding me, right?" But I consider it a great honor to be up there. I was tearfully excited. I was just blessed to be a part of some great names that's been up on that wall, and always admired it since I came to Kansas City in 1980.
That's fantastic. And honestly, when you study the history of the franchise and you look at great numbers, like what's the greatest number in Chiefs history that so many great guys wore it? I'm going to tell you 88 is going to get, because Chris Burford, I think, did he wear it before you?
Yes, he did.
Then you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Then T-Gon's got it. All right? You're talking Hall of Famers here, all three of them, Chiefs Hall of Famers, and T-Gon's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. So I'm looking at Ross Travis going, "Come on, dude. You got to hold up the tradition."
Absolutely.
But what about the number and your version of 88 going up?
88 was just a number that I cherish. The number they assigned me, and I just want to say, hey, let's make 88 something special. What has a fifth-round draft choice done for the Kansas City Chiefs? And I said, hey, let's try to be the best fifth-round draft choice the Chiefs have ever had. And I just went out and worked at it, and was blessed to have a quarterback like Bill Kenny that believed in me. And he gave me some opportunities. But not enough can be said about playing with Henry Marshall and J.T. Smith. They were great pros when I got here in the league, and they kind of took me under their wings and showed me how to be a pro.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
We're going to get some more into the history here, but I want to ask you about this current Chiefs team, 4-0, right? And you heard me say it when I introduced Andy. Here's what people have overlooked. The Chiefs are 26-4 in their last 30 regular season games. I mean, there's no team in the league that's close to that. And that's a big deal. But this Chiefs team, what are you seeing with these guys, Carlos?
I see a team that is playing together. They don't care who gets the credit. They have four outstanding skill position players that can go downfield and strike at any time. And that's what's so impressive to me about this offense, is that you got Travis Kelce who can, hey, he can go 60, 70 yards, and obviously Tariq Hill, outstandingly He's not fast. He's faster than fast. And, you got Conley, who's consistently. He's a big body. And you got the unsung hero. You found the diamond in the rough and the little kid in the back. Huh? I mean, he's running the rock.
And it's awesome. He's doing great. And they got that triangle where you've got the running back in Kareem Hunt, the tight end in Kelsey, and then the dude that takes the top off the defense that you did in Tyreek Hill. It's kind of like when the Cowboys had that triangle of like Emmitt Smith and Novacek and Irvin. What's that do to a defense when you got that three-pronged approach?
Hey, they got to feel like, hey, we got to take one thing away, and if we take him away, somebody else is going to have a lot of success. And you can't cover Kelsey with one guy. You got to cover him with two, and if you do, Tyreek Hill is going to take it off the top. And then you got Albert Wilson that comes in, and he just makes solid plays. Nothing spectacular, but he catches the ball. He gets it done. He does the small things that you don't see. Blocks downfield to spring the running back for a big run. This team is special. Let's hope we can, you know, keep them all healthy and just make sure that we keep doing what we're doing. Defensively, hey, they bend, but they don't break, and they just bring the heat. I mean, they got a great scheme, and they just get it done, and that's the main thing, getting it done each and every Sunday.
No kidding. Love this group. Let's just take it up at that 2 minute. We heard the play, the 37-yarder. All right, it's 20-20.
Right.
There ain't a whole lot of time left. 47 seconds, two timeouts. But the hardest thing in the NFL to do in my brief 24 years in the league is to do what they did. And you did it so many times. Well, let's talk about Wilson's catch, Smith scrambling. Walk me through how tough that is to do what they did in the 2 minute.
Well, it's really tough because you're scrambling, and you got to understand, hey, we got to get out of bounds if we get a chance. If not, you know, we just got to make things happen. When Alex Smith broke the pocket, I'm sure Wilson was running a pass pattern. We all have this route, whereas when the quarterback starts to scramble, everybody has to get in a certain position. And they did a great job of him going up the sideline, and the quarterback just made a great throw, and the receiver made a great catch, catching the ball with his hands. Because if he would have caught that ball with his body, I thought the defensive back would have had an excellent opportunity to knock it away from him. When he caught it with his hands, he had a chance to secure it, put it away, and absorb that hit. Big catch.
Excellent point. The other thing is a way-forgotten play. It's 17-17. Let's jump back earlier than that.
Okay.
A ball gets deflected at the line of scrimmage, shoots straight up in the air, and the Washington linebacker, when you see the video, try to find it after the show, is standing right there going, I got this, they ain't going to score. And Wilson comes out of nowhere to snatch it for a no gain, but it might have been the biggest play of the game.
I've always said he's a guy that does the small things that adds up the big things. He goes in and high points the ball, which every receiver should do, but, I mean, he does it in a crowd. He shows no fear, goes up. It's no gain, but like you said, it does not turn into a turnover and put the defense back on the field, give the offense a chance to either punt the ball or run the ball down the field. And it was a small play, but it was really huge for the Chiefs.
That was huge. And I'm telling you, we get a receiver that does it. You know how this works, Lowe's. Let's go, baby.
Let's go.
Hey, with Carlos Carson, three times, 1,000-yard receiver. Let's go, Grandview Greats. It's time to put the hammer down, baby. That's what I'm saying, 88.
All right.
Let's talk about – so when did you figure this out as a receiver? Because there had to be 1,000 times you had to, like, the play within a play where Kenny's scrambling and you had to find – he has to find you. That and making the tough catches. When did that start to work for you in your career?
Well, it started back in 1983 when we changed coaches and we got John Makovic in. And John kind of opened the all the positions open, said you had to compete for a starting job. And I just so happened to win one that particular year. And playing with Bill was really great. Bill didn't scramble. but Bill had the knack that he would stand in that pocket and deliver the ball under extreme heat. And, you know, playing with Bill was just a great honor. And just playing with one of the best wide receivers that I played with was Stephon Page. Stephon was acrobatic. Made catches that you wouldn't believe. I mean, he made some of the best catches in practice that you had to say, ah. And he made me play better because I had to kind of match his intensity and match his playability. And I can't thank him enough for doing that for me.
The relationship with the quarterback, you talked about Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
The great ones in this league, whether it's Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers, or we've seen when Marvin Harrison had it going along with Manning. I mean, we've seen that. And now we're starting to click with that with us. But for you, let's just say Kenny, mm-hmm. at that time of your career, when did it hit with him where he kind of knew with a sixth sense what you're going to do and you knew going back what he was going to do?
Well, it clicked early on. Bill and I worked in the offseason. All that hard work that we did in offseason, we used to run pass patterns, and I'm not exaggerating, at least 400 or 500 pass patterns and throw the ball at least 300-400 times a day. And we developed a great rapport where he knew where I was going to be and where I wanted to ball on slants, on deep ends, and deep routes. Bill just had that deep he just had that deep thought that, hey, when he knew this, when I moved to the left, he knew I'm coming back to the right, and he'll throw it where it needs to be. And it was – I didn't have any problems going over the middle for Bill because I knew he was not going to lead me into any danger.
Wow.
And that's one of the key secrets, that I knew Bill would not lead me into a big hit. You know, it was up to me to make sure that I caught the ball first, and then you get a chance to protect yourself. But Bill Kenny was a lifesaver for me.
That's awesome. Just awesome. Big year in 83. I mentioned number one in the AFC in receiving. You came back in 87 and had another big year. How close were you guys? Like in 80, it just seemed like you were right there. And then you go to the playoffs in 86. And then, I mean, how close were you guys to breaking through like this crew's on the verge of doing?
We were close. We were very close. We had probably one of the best secondary and one of the best defenses that we've had. We had Albert Lewis, Kevin Ross, Laura Burris, Deron Cherry. That back end we had was really good. And it just seemed like we always had one side of the ball that was playing great. One side was not as productive as we needed to be. And when that happens, you have some inconsistency, and that's kind of what we had going on in 87. We put it all together in 86. We had great special teams play, great defensive play. We scored a lot of touchdowns off defense. They turned the ball over to the offense. And we had a good running game. I'd be remiss if I didn't say anything about Joe Delaney. Played with him. Great running back. We lost him too soon. I would love to have seen what we could have done if we had him and some of our dynamic passing game that we had at that time.
How much? I know Joe's a little bit different. We've studied him, and, man, it just breaks your heart. He was trying to save those kids in Louisiana after an incredible rookie year. But when you see Kareem Hunt, maybe not the same, but, I mean, the impact they're having as rookies is similar, is it not?
It is. It's very similar. They don't go down easy. He just keeps making the tough runs, and he kind of wears you down. And towards the end of the game, you see guys – not wanting to come up and tackle him. And then you start seeing those 15, 25-yard runs, and then that's when he just seemed like he just gets stronger each and every time, and that's what Joe was. You know, Joe stick it up in there, 2 yards, 3 yards, second quarter, 15, 20, 35, touchdown.
It's great to see it. And
yes, it is.
And Kareem is doing it maybe for the memory of the late Joe Delaney. Again, our special guest tonight, we're at the Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone in the Northland, 72nd Street. Carlos Carson, the newest Chiefs Hall of Famer, is with us tonight. When we come back, he is great. He's an ambassador for us. Our ambassador's work with our current team is one of my favorite parts of our whole franchise because Carlos has a great story. It has not been easy for this young man, but he has made the most of what the Lord has presented for you to do. He has made the most of his life. We're going to talk more about that and go a little deeper into Carlos's past. When we come back after this on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network.
Third and two. Big time to try to get off the field for this Kansas City defense.
Chris Thompson is now in the scat back. We've got a nice complement of backs in that Redskin repertoire. Cousins to throw. Pressured by Zombo, and now the pass is broken up. Terrence Mitchell jumps in front of Jordan Reed to knock it away. Back at the Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone. And awesome to have folks here as far away from Grandview and Savannah, Missouri, and Emporia, Kansas. And I don't know, we have them from overseas. We come in. Anyway, we got a special night tonight celebrating the Chiefs being 4-0, the only undefeated team in the NFL. Also, you better lock your jaw and get ready because we have to go to Houston to take on the Texans. All right, that's Sunday night football, so lock your jaw and get ready to go. And then third, we are celebrating the career of Carlos Carson tonight, the Chiefs' newest inductee into the Hall of Fame. And it's great to have all of you out here tonight. And talking about Carlos, what's interesting and what I really appreciate, and by the way, the show is brought to you by Tickets for Less. Again, another Monday night game is coming up very soon against the, yeah, that team orange and blue with the crazy-looking horse thing. And they're coming in at the end of the month. Pittsburgh will be in here in 2 weeks for a Sunday afternoon 3:15 game. Tickets are available through Tickets for Less. And that Monday night game, asking about the $99 special. They have a VIP tent that opens 3 hours before every home game. You can get all you want to eat or drink. Man, it's a great time. So anyway, we get ready to go to Houston with the guy here that I wish we was taking with us. Give us one more weapon, number 88, Carlos Carson. And I just have to ask you, one thing that's cool about seeing what you've accomplished in your life, it hasn't been easy, has it?
No, it hasn't been easy. Football has never been an easy sport for me. To get to where I was offered a scholarship to LSU. I was the next to last person to get a scholarship at LSU. What happened was we had a teammate that wanted to go to LSU.
So where are you at? What high school are you in?
I was in West Palm Beach, Florida, okay, at John I. Leonard. And Paul Miller wanted to go to LSU, so they sent the film up there for him. And
who's Paul Miller?
Paul Miller, he's a good friend of mine. He played running back with me, and he was an outstanding punter. He punted about 34, 35 yards a punt.
A punter?
Yeah.
A punter. They're sending video to LSU of a punter.
Yes, they did.
Okay. All right.
Just so happened, Scooter Purvis saw the film, and he asked my high school coach, hey, who is this other kid, number 24, that's a running back? And he said, well, can I come talk to him? And he came and talked to me. We had a great visit. We visited for about 3 hours, and he said, son, we got 2 scholarships left. Would you like to go to LSU? I said, Coach, I got nothing else better to do, so let's do this.
That's so awesome.
That's how I ended up at LSU. I was 155-pound running back. Didn't play receiver at the time, and I learned my craft at LSU and was happy to be drafted by the Chiefs. The most thing that was most impressive to me was seeing Otis Taylor that came to our practice and had a chance to speak with him. You know, he was a big influence in my life. He was an idol of mine. And the day the Chiefs drafted me, he the one called me and said, hey, Carlos, I saw you at LSU. We were thinking about drafting you in the 5th round of the Chiefs. I say, Otis, it'll be the best thing you ever done.
Ooh.
And he said, I'm counting on it. And worked with Otis for 2-3 years in training camp, and just kind of learned all the skills, and taught me all the tricks, and here I am today.
And you were a man of your word with a terrific career, a 10-year career, including 3 1,000-yard seasons, a couple of Pro Bowls. Let's go back, though, to West Palm. You still have family there? Everybody okay, the hurricane?
Yeah, everything is okay. My mom and dad are okay. We had a couple of trees that got knocked down, went down to clean it up for them, but everything is good. We're blessed.
Awesome. All right, now you're in West Palm. This was before the days. Now let's go back. Okay, we can say. But Central Florida, where you up and running, they were kind of getting started, but there wasn't Florida International, wasn't Florida Atlantic. All there was UF and FSU in Miami, right?
That's correct.
So who else was recruiting you? Stetson?
No. No one was. Florida at the time was running the Wishbone. They had West Chandler. Miami, you know, they were just getting started, and Florida State showed no interest, and I was looking at maybe walking on at Florida A&M.
Yeah, and, Rattlers.
Yeah, and like I say, I got the opportunity to go to LSU, and I shot on up. I had never been to Louisiana. Didn't know what the school, where it was, anything. And that's how it started. So we've had a couple of good high school players that come out of West Palm. Otis Anderson.
Yeah.
Anthony Carter. That was during my time, and they kind of migrate down there now. They just don't go to Miami They always stop in West Palm now and make sure that they see what's down there now.
Well, there's a whole bunch more schools now.
Yes, it is.
There's a whole lot of Division I schools in Florida that are cropped up and playing. FAU, FIU, as I mentioned, some others. So, anyway, you get to LSU. All right, so then dealing with, okay, you had to deal with a lot during your pro career. Two strikes,
yes.
These coaching changes. I mean, how did you persevere through all that? You played 10 years and survived.
Well, you know, when new guys come in, opportunity sometimes comes with it. With Marv Levy, Marv had a plan on stressing defense first, and he was looking forward to the offense come next year, but they kind of got rid of Marv probably, in my opinion, 1 or 2 years too early. We brought John Makovic in, and, you know, John just kind of opened it up for everybody. Great offensive mind, passed the ball. It was just great. And then unfortunate things happen. He ends up taking us to the playoffs and losing his job, which I never understood, but that's another story. And then we get Frank Gans, and you know, 2 years. And then you brought Marty Schottenheimer in. So, you know, Marty was a great coach, but it was probably time for me. You know, I had put my time in, but you always never want to leave the game. But it was time, and they had some great talent coming up. And when they drafted Derek Thomas and Neil Smith, it was something special.
Yeah.
And they just took off.
And what was crazy, you ended your career with the Eagles.
Yes, it is. Yes, it was.
Like half a year?
A year. You know, it was a good experience playing with Randall Cunningham, but I knew that it was time for a second career. You know when it's ready. It's your time to say goodbye to the game that you love, and that's what happened. After 10 years, I just say, hey, it's time to move on and do something else.
He's terrific, ladies and gentlemen, our newest Hall of Fame member. It's going to be an awesome weekend when they take that curtain off, and Carlos Carson will be up on that facade. We're going to be back to close things out with Carlos again with the Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone, 72nd in Indiana, or Highway 1, Missouri Highway 1. Back to close out this edition of the Chiefs Kingdom. After this, you're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football.
4 seconds left. Chiefs trying to remain undefeated. They're going to run the Cal Stanford throwback.
And Chris Jones is waiting on him and eats up Cousins. And Kansas City stays undefeated with the 23-20. And now this play is still alive. And the Chiefs score a touchdown. It's going to be a touchdown with no time left because the ball stayed loose and the Chiefs mob. Was it Justin Houston? Crowder threw it back. Give Chris Jones credit. Then Jordan Reed picked it up. He tried to hand it off to Thompson. And the ball was picked up by Justin Houston. Poetic justice as Justin Houston gets the fumble recovery for a touchdown. And the game is going to end 29-20.
And if we're playing hockey, that's an
that's
open
it.
Net
yeah,
goal,
the good
but
thing.
He'll take it all the same.
Shot from the other blue line.
Exactly right. And the Chiefs end up with Eric Berry's number, 29. That's what made it cool, I think. Again, Carlos Carson with us tonight. Just about a minute left, Carlos. But you've had a brilliant career after football, man. You set it up. So when we do this Big Max for sacks thing, it comes real close to home for you, right?
It comes real close to home. I own three McDonald's now, and every time the Chiefs get a sack, we get with the purchase. So I'm still involved with the Chiefs indirectly, and I'm just making a living and doing something that I really like, and that's infecting young kids that want a job, and we give them their first experience, and we hopefully that leapfrogs them to bigger and better things.
That's so awesome, yeah. I don't know about all of you, but I think we need like an 88-cent Hall of Fame special. Only in your three stores.
Hey,
congratulations,
right.
Brother.
Thank you.
So
thank
proud
you.
Of you.
Thank you.
It's going to be neat to have
thank
that weekend when you go up on Hall of Fame member. Next week, we go to Lee's Summit. Wait till you see that store in Lee's Summit as Albert Wilson will be our guest, one of the heroes of last night's victory. But Lee's Summit, when you get there, it's like the Starship Enterprise. Thanks for coming tonight to Gladstone, to this Hy-Vee Market Grill. Let's get after Houston. Let's stay undefeated on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network, baby.
You've been listening to the Chiefs Kingdom Show, brought to you by Tickets for Less. TicketsForLess.com has Chiefs tickets at the lowest prices with no fees. Ticket differently at Tickets for Less, proud partner of the Chiefs Radio Network.